Good morning. My name is Wes, and I want you to know that I love you. God loves you deeply, and he cares for you today. So no matter where you're at, what's going on in your life, his abiding presence, his profound love and joy for who you are his son or his daughter, he cares for you. So let's hear the word through that lens today. Let us pray. Father, thank you for loving us individually and collectively. You love us. A love so pure, so sweet. It transforms us from the inside out. It beckons us, it calls us. It covers our sins, which are many. It frees us. It gives us sight. Help us, Father, to hear your words as loving, joyful exuberance from you to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we're talking about how God prepares us, and it has a wilderness motif to it. So we're going to be talking a lot about preparation. And preparation is holy. Preparation is often overlooked. People just want to go right into something, just jump right in without reading the instructions. You know, if you're going to have a great fishing trip, which I know all of you want to, you need to prepare for those. Listen to some of the items I have to have to ensure success. I need my waders. I need my wading belt. I need my personal flotation device. I promised Kelly I'd never be on the river without it, so that's important. I need pliers, fingernail clippers. I need at least probably a half gallon of water for a 3-hour float because it gets hot out there, especially in the waders. You need a hat if you're bald. You need tubes that are crawfish collared. You need 1/4 ounce jig tube for the current of the Great Miami. You need crawfish collared crankbaits. You need a paddle. You need a beautiful redhead to pick you up at the end of your float, which is quintessential to the thing. You can brag about all your fish and get a kiss, okay? And don't be late because she threatens not to pick you up next time if you're late. All part of it. This year, Miles started kindergarten. Miles is a lot like Kelly. He is shy and public. And I'm thankful for Middletown City Schools for preparing Miles. They had a week-long boot camp at Mayfield Elementary to get him ready to go to school. So they went for a couple hours each day, learned how to do lunch, learned how to do recess, all the important things in school, and learned to interact. And then they also had another mini boot camp at Miller Ridge Elementary so he could meet his teacher and just get to know around. And this is important to Miles. Miles doesn't like big crowds. He's not going to feel safe and comfortable until he is emotionally prepared to do it. Even last week, he says, "I don't want to go to school, Mommy. My tummy hurts." And then, you know, Kelly has a bleeding heart for this boy. And I was like, "You're going to school. Unless it's 103, you're going, and nurse can send you home. You're never missing school, so get out here." But he gets out of the car, and he's got tears in his eyes coming down his cheeks. And he's like, "I don't want to go in there." He comes to the mirror and says, "I guess I'll wipe away my tears, Mommy." And I'll smile, and he looked in the side mirror on the car and said, "I can do it." And he walked into school prepared for his day. Now, Miles really looks forward to the weekends now, and Miles was prepared for this weekend. He's like, "Yes, school's over. We get 2 free days. Take me to Grandpa Joe's. I'm getting lots of candy, Daddy, and we're going to party in the basement." And Kelly was, again, happy about what she heard. She thought he had conquered all week. "All I heard was, this kid wants to party in the basement with candy. He's 5. You're not going to state college. I promise you that. You're going to stay." You're already talking about partying in the basement. It's candy now. So... yeah, you're a little wild on the weekend, so let me take you over here to Mom, and we'll get you signed up right away. But it's awesome on how God prepares us. And again, preparation is holy. It's not the boring part of what God is doing. And if you've ever wondered, why did God start with creation, then pick Abraham, and then pick Moses and all these people. And they, why did they go to Egypt and travel all around and take all these times to produce this Messiah, to tell us this grand story over thousands of years, over, you know, 40 different people writing the Bible over 1,500 years on three different continents? Why was this epic story? Why did he prepare us this way? Because if God did not take time to prepare us, we would have missed the blessing. And today I want you to listen about you preparing your heart and our heart so that we can be prepared for what God has us. In this passage I'm about to read, it's about a guy named John the Baptist who prepares the way so that Jesus could come. And ultimately it doesn't even end with Jesus. It was so Jesus could give us the Holy Spirit. And I want you to read this passage. I want you to be thinking the whole sermon. What is God preparing us for? Say that word, us. And we'll talk a little bit about us versus you here in a little bit. Let's read this passage together. Follow along on the screen. God preparing us. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send you my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to point out a few things about this text, give you a couple of comments before we get into the meat of the sermon. First of all, he comments, it is written. That would make everybody in the audience stand up to attention. This is not part of something John the Baptist is doing by himself, but a prophet had written this. God had been preparing us all along to hear this message. The gospel that you are about to hear is the gospel that Isaiah foretold. So you know how you get certain mail? And it's like, you know, it's junk mail to the resident here. You know, you can just throw it in the trash. They want you to get another credit card or something. But if it says IRS, you're like, uh-oh. You know, it's about, or attention. You know, you can tell, or you have to sign for a letter or something like that. It's you stand to attention, and you read it differently than you do other things. As it is written, which means it's foretold, this message is what God had been preparing them for. And we see John the Baptist, he's a weird guy out in the wilderness, right? I mean, he's a little cray-cray. He's wearing camel hair, leather belt, eating weird stuff, honey and locust, because that's what was out in the wilderness. Kind of a crazy preacher. Kind of one that people would say, I'm kind of afraid of, like a bullhorn preacher, somebody standing on a corner, repent, the end is near. All I would say about that is maybe don't mock the bullhorn preachers so much. I mean, there's a couple here in Middletown, they're definitely crazy and need to go because they do rude and offensive things. But there are some other ones that need, and I'm serious about that, they are, they're very mean. But here is a true prophetic preacher. And sometimes we're afraid of that message today. Repent. Turn. It is harsh. It does. But it's also true. If you don't repent and you don't turn, destruction is coming. And so John the Baptist comes, and he comes in the form of Elijah. Elijah is an Old Testament prophet who, again, was out in the wilderness, and he stood up to King Ahab. And God is bringing this motif back in. The prophet has come to stand up to Rome. The prophet has come to set the record straight. He's going to stand up to the darkness, the principalities of evil, and ultimately will cost John the Baptist his head, will be handed on a silver plate. Listen. God is calling some of you to be prophets, but you need to know that you will always weep as a prophet, that your life will not go the way that you expect it. And when you stand up to this world, the world is never going to cheer you on like, hey, thanks for telling us we're wrong. Appreciate the news. It's a great thing. So we have this prophet who is coming, who was foretold by Isaiah, and he's baptizing people. And it's not a Christian baptism. It's like how we would do anointing oil, or we would come and pray at the altar. He's doing a ritual. He's doing something that the Jewish people would have done as a sign of something new that is coming. So don't confuse John's baptism with what we do in full immersion and becoming a Christian in that order. It's not the New Testament final baptism. It's a rite or an order. Go ahead and go to that next slide there, because I want to put this up. God is preparing us. So it is written by Isaiah, John the Baptist is coming, and he's going to give us something different. But ultimately, he's giving us Jesus, who will give us the Holy Spirit. And what can we learn from this? First of all, is that God is preparing us. You know, we need to go to the wilderness because God does something in the wilderness with us, and it can't be fully explained, but all I know is that our life is full of noise. How many of you ever sit in the quiet? Would you raise your hand? How many of you live in constant noise from the time you wake up to the car, to the work, before you go to bed? How many of you live in constant noise most of your day? It's just not good for us. So God is calling us to the wilderness where that we can reset. Do you know if you go camping for 7 days without any technology, your body automatically resets to sunrise and sunset? That your body will automatically reset to what it does, but with all the noise, all the light, all the self-esteem issues we have and trying to prove ourselves to other people, our mind gets cloudy. And God wants to prepare us. He wants us to have revival. When the word repentance is used, it means to change your mind. And see, when you get out in the wilderness, you start to have different priorities. You start to change the way that you think about things. And I want you to know that God is preparing us. Now, one of the reasons the word us is hard for us, and I want to spend some time here, is that we always think as an individual, okay? I want you to know that the Bible was primarily not written to you to read as an individual. Even though we spend a lot of time in our spot, and that is good and healthy, we need to learn to read the Bible together. We need to learn to read the Bible as a community. And the Bible, this is not just my opinion, this is how the Bible is written. Now, our modern translations, which are good and healthy, and you don't have to learn the Greek and Hebrew to study your Bible, but something that is weak in the newer translations, and even the King James got this right, is something that is called a singular pronoun or a plural pronoun. Okay? Now, I'm not getting fancy here. Stay with me. So, say the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans, hoping you, like I see the bumper stickers, journals, everything grabs over, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, whatever, okay. When the Bible writes, do you know that most of the New Testament, where it says you, is really plural, which speaks to the whole community? So when it says, I know the plans I have for you, he's not speaking directly to me, he's speaking to us. Okay? And I feel in our individualistic society, we read the Bible as it was written just for me, and we don't hear through the lens of a whole community. Which, that's a reason we need to go to the wilderness, because it is God who is talking to us, and some of us need to go to the wilderness to hear how God is preparing the body. God will not speak something to you that is not beneficial to his body. Okay, now here's how the King James Version did it, and here's an easy way how you can tell to do this without knowing Greek and Hebrew. Because if you get on your computer program or your phone, your Bible app, you can hit King James Version, right? All the singular ones are all the ones that were T. So all the thee, thou, okay, you follow me? The old timers read that one? Thee, thou, anything with T is singular, okay? Anything with the Y, like come out ye from among them, you've heard that preached? That's plural and speaking to the whole body. So we need to read things. I know the plans I have for us, plans to prosper us, plans to give you a hope in the future, on and on and on. 80% of the New Testament commands are plural. And I just don't think we read the Bible like that. Because the word you has been replaced, and we become all about myself. But friends, I think some of us need to go back to the wilderness. What God is preparing this church for is that oftentimes we get in our own little cul-de-sac and we think this church is all about us. We think our lives, that God is like wanting to bless us alone. And that's not what he's created us for. Small groups are so good, so healthy, so beautiful. So Acts chapter 2, where they share all things in common. We have to learn to read the Bible together. So if you came in here today and think, I hope they sing my favorite song. I hope I hear a sermon that will speak to me for the problems I alone have in my life. If it's about the ministries that you need or want, then you need to go back to the wilderness. And you need to reprogram your mind to think us. Say that with me, us. Everybody in this building matters. From age 99, I think that's the oldest. Tracy holds that down. And there's a newborn Mooney in here somewhere, or maybe back there. And from the youngest to the oldest, every one of you matter to God. But we are only as strong as our weakest member. And why do I say all that? Because as I walk around as pastor, I start to hear things. I hear people in their own cul-de-sac talking about what's most important to them. It's not okay. Think about others. The Bible teaches if you give up your preference, that all of your preferences will be met. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you will allow God to prepare you in the wilderness with that thought, God will do something amazing in your life when you think about the entire body. Okay? So what's the point of going to the wilderness? If God is preparing us, why does he send us this place? Any blessing that you might have, you first need to be emptied. You can write that down. You can think about that. If you're going to receive something new, if we are going to receive something new, the first thing, you have to be emptied out. Now, when I go down in the wilderness and I put on these waders and all this gear and I walk upstream and I'm out there 4 or 5 hours doing this, going upstream, I'm a little chubby and I get tired. And then what I didn't calculate on the other day was when I got off, it had rained the day before and that muddy bank is steep, or that bank is steep, and the mud had rain on it. Now, if there was a cameraman down there and you saw me and my waders getting up that muddy hill, carrying all that equipment, it looked like a walrus on psychedelic medicine that just like lost it. I mean, it was bad. Hanging on tree branches. This old man came up top, he had a beer in his hand, he's sitting there, what you doing, son? It was just embarrassing, get out of here, you know? And then I thought about that, you know, because me going into the wilderness is actually an illusion, because my car is parked right there. If I wreck, if I lose all my equipment, I have my cell phone, I'm calling Kelly, and I'm going home to a shower and back to civilization. Just one bad night out. When God takes you to the wilderness spiritually, you're going to stay there for a while. And there's no coming back from that right away. You're not making a cell phone call, hey, get me out of here, I'm uncomfortable. There are some things that he wants to do with you, and he wants you to humble yourself. He wants you to change your mind and repent about some of the things you think. And when you're out there, when I'm out there fishing, I'm out there hanging out, you know what? God helps me to slow down, to breathe, to think about what's most important, to not get caught up in the rat race, to sit there and focus. And some of you are so caught up. Listen, you need to go out in the wilderness and hang out, change your mind, reprioritize, get off technology, declare a fast on yourself, get rid of some things, declutter your life, make preparation to hear from the Lord that wants to speak to you and to us. But if you keep going through the same routine and you keep doing the same things and you think that your life is going to change with the same manner that you've proceeded always in the past, it is never going to happen. We need to empty ourselves. There's no project that you can be blessed. How do you build a house? You first have to lay a foundation. You have to get the ground ready. You have to hire a contractor. You have to have a budget. You got to think about materials. You got to think about zoning. We in our spiritual life act like we can erect a spiritual house with absolutely no planning. God wants to hear from you. The first thing is you must empty yourself. Let's go to the next point here. So God is preparing us. Point 2, we need to change our minds. When you start to build, you have to have a plan. When we went to Amanda, one of the things that makes me nervous in ministry is when there's no plan, okay? When people just fly by the seat of their pants and just go for it. So when we show up for the shoes for the shoeless, this lady who runs this ministry, they have a $300,000 a year budget. She has this truck, she has all the gears. She showed up and she said, hey, make a line. We're gonna get all the shoes in. My assistant will be the last in line. She put all the shoes in order. So there was youth 1 through 12. There were adult sizes. She then told us how to proceed. She set us down, talked to us, told us what to say, what not to say, where to get the socks, how to fit the kids, what to do if we run into our problems. Man, she was efficient. They shooed 200 and I think Janet said 70 kids in a matter of an hour and a half, maybe two. Each person had their own personal assistant, sat down, looked in the kid's eye, and we received such a blessing from that. Oh my stars. The kids I talked to, what God wants to do with them, how God feels about them, just being able to put a shoe on. But listen, if that lady didn't spend time in the wilderness thinking about how wrong it is for certain kids not to have shoes, if she didn't go out and get her heart right, if she didn't empty herself, she would have never came to this conclusion. We're in a public school setting and kids got to receive a New Testament if they wanted one, if their parents checked that they could have one. And tons of Bibles were passed out that day. She told me at school, at a Dayton school, said, you never know who might be the next Billy Graham who might pick up that Bible. It matters. But I was there sitting there on the floor, and I'm not a patient person, and the first kid I got, we tried on 9 pair of shoes. I'm like, dude, come on, dog. I need a pair of black high tops with a little lace, and he ran and ran down. He was so adorable. But the blessing I received that morning was because something got emptied, but something was being built up so that it had structure, so it could be organized. God will never build, he will never build us or fill us until we pay attention to our structure. Now, for the last 7 years, all we've been trying to do here, it's like a large garage sale at Braille Boulevard. We've been taking out things outside the garage and looking at it and saying, does this have value? Is it fruitful? If it doesn't, we set it to the side. If it does have value and it's not fruitful, we say, how can it be more fruitful? Because this has value, but it's not producing fruit. And we try to work with that. If it has value, yet we can't make it fruitful, then we set it aside because God's calling us to something else. And that's what you call pruning and building. I believe that we are done with pruning and cutting and shearing and budgets and people and personnel and all that stuff. And 7 years have been completely administrative with one goal. God loves you, and we're going to love each other. And this is me speaking, not our elders, as they would say it nicer. I don't care about the music. I don't care the style. I don't care about all church politics, religion, or anything that's been built up or heritage, or new people wanting this. We're going to have church, and we're going to do it God's way. And now, I believe God wants to build us. Now listen. Are we prepared for new people joining our church? No, we are not. We're just not. You could join it, and we've grown. The funny thing is, like, we're a fisherman with no poles, and fish have just jumped into our boat and said, I'm coming in. You know, they've had to make their way, but I believe we've left a lot of souls on the table over the last 7 years. And we couldn't make changes that fast because of trust, because of disunity, because of theological perspectives within this building. I believe that we have came together on unity, and we learned that we need to love one another and what's most important. I do believe we have learned that lesson as a body. And now it is time to build. It's time to get the lobby ready. It's time to get our information ready. It's time to open up the way for new people. And with new people comes a whole nother set of problems. It's not glorious when your church grows by 100 people. You got 100 more of us, okay? Do we need 100 more of us? Yes and no. Yes and no. But God wants to transform Middletown. God wants to transform your neighbor. God wants them to see love, and we need to get ready for the building phase of Brell Boulevard. I am thankful that our building, our physical building, is being refreshed. I think that will mirror what God is doing with us spiritually, and we need to prepare. So some things are going to continue to change. We'll do it slow. We'll explain it 100 times. And most of you will get it. And changing a congregation is like walking back away from a grizzly bear. I don't have anything under my shirt. I don't have an agenda. We just simply want to do what God is wanting to do. But we need to be emptied so that he can build us. But doing that, we need to change our minds. God loves everybody. Okay? It's easy to say that. It's another thing to practice it. God loves everybody. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. His love is everlasting. It is not his will that any should perish. He's concerned about the weakest member in Middletown community. The person who is forgotten about the most is who God cares about the most. And we need to be a church that reflects that. So if you have a hard time loving someone, change your mind. If you gossip and talk about other people and don't build unity here, go out in the wilderness and change your mind. If you're not being generous and giving to the budget so that we can carry out this mission, go out in the wilderness and change your mind, because it's good and right to contribute. We have a family budget here. It'd be like if I let Kyle come home for college and he just lived there until he's 42 and did no chores and hang out. Just was like some weird guy in the basement. That's not a faithful and fruitful life. Coming to Sunday morning and hearing a sermon and checking that off your list to this community, we have much higher hopes for you as a person who contributes here. And it's not just financially, it's your serving, it's loving, it's signing up, it's being at the thing. If we say that we're going to be there for Amanda School, then we have to be there for Amanda School. I told you a couple weeks ago we're about to have a shut-in meeting. I need people to sign up. And if you don't, then I guess we'll just have sermons on hell and tithing for the next year, okay? So it's up to you. It won't bother me. But if we say that we're going to do something, then we have to be the kind of church that fulfills it. And yeah, when that service date comes up, it sounds fun to sign up, and it's Friday night or Saturday morning, and then you decide you sign up for something, nobody ever wants to go, right? There's something that's like, oh, I'd just rather stay home. It's nice in here. It's cool. It's we're hanging out, whatever. But when you go and you serve, you'll be blessed more than you ever know. I'm going to speed up here. Go to the next point. This is the beautiful part. I love this. I don't want you to miss this. Look at verse 8 again. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, after you go out in the wilderness and you reprogram your priorities, you get in your spot, you learn to read the Bible as community, and you're allowing God to prepare you, and then he starts giving you vision so that you can build and so that you can have more transformation in your life. Once you empty the structure and then you build the structure, then you can fill it. It's like when you build a house, you clear the land, you build the structure. What's the actual point of the house? It's so a family that can live in it. It's so that you can fill that house with a person and memories and joy, and your family has shelter and you can communicate, right? When God removes what is lacking in us and he builds a new structure, a New Testament structure within us, he's going to fill us with his Spirit. And we need that Spirit to fill us so that we can accomplish the mission. John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. So as a church, we have to learn how to pray, have intercessory prayer. We have to learn to be in the Spirit. We have to learn to listen. The community needs to validate. There are no solo leaders here. We are a person that has to hear and listen, but the community has to approve of what we do. You know, at the end of weddings, how they say, if anyone in here disagrees, please speak now, forever hold your peace, right? No one does that, right? At least, has anyone ever seen anyone stand up? Anybody? I haven't either. But why that was given is because a marriage consists of three things. God approves, your legal state approves, and then the community that you're around. There are some weddings I wish somebody would stand up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just kidding. Kind of. But you know, I could go and dream in my bedroom, like, here's what Braille Church needs. I love it when I come to staff and I present stuff and they're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Nah, no thanks. Let's move on. That's healthy. And on every level, every team, here's what we've learned as a church. Everybody has to talk. The elders can't be shy in a meeting. The mission team can't be shy in a meeting. The best concepts that have came up here have not come from the upper leadership. They've come from people in the Spirit speaking out at the proper time and proper place. And God has blessed that. And God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And I don't want you to step over that. God himself wants to fill you. This is not another random task, a random thing. God himself wants to fill you so that you can know him in relationship, so he can lead us like he did the children of Israel through the wilderness. He led them by a cloud and by fire. And God will lead us through the wilderness. But listen, we actually have to get out there and declutter ourselves. We have to do it so that we can be filled. If you don't decide to go to the wilderness, then it's not going to happen. You won't be able to build. He won't be able to fill you. So what does this look like? What does this actually look like? Maybe you want to get married. Maybe you're a young female and you want to be married. Maybe you're an older female and you want to be married. It's a good and noble desire. He's preparing you now so you won't miss the blessing later. Don't step over the preparation. If God has not allowed that in his acute, precise wisdom for your life, maybe you're not ready. Maybe you need to thank him that he's preparing you for something bigger, for something better, and for the right person. Maybe you're a husband. Maybe you're a young man who wants to be a husband and get married. Have you taken the time to study the other gender? Let me tell you something, they're different. I didn't mean that as a joke, you left. To study what it means to love a woman, to speak to her emotions, to care for her, to provide security, to be a protector when needed, to be a cheerleader and an encourager, and that everybody's different. And don't watch the culture around you, because there's something macho where men can't say that they love their wife or that's embarrassing to them in some way. That's crazy. Celebrate your wife. She's beautiful. It's glorious to be married. Your wife is your greatest treasure here on this earth. But have you actually prepared yourself so that you're not rude, so you're not selfish, so that you realize it won't be all about your hobbies, your thing? Look at weddings. They take months to prepare for. Look at coaches and games. When is a game won? It's won in the game plan and the preparation. It really is. Why does the same coaches win all across the nation? It's because they know how to prepare their teams to play. Maybe you're thinking about a new career. Have you prepared yourself? Have you gotten the education that you needed? Have you went and received the skills that you're going to need to be successful? So everybody wants to launch out so fast. And listen, younger people are wanting to launch faster and faster and want more and more responsibility. Be careful what you ask for. Don't skip over the preparation stage. You need to become a priest before you become a prophet. You need to be mentored. You need to go through conflict. You need to be able to run your own household. You need to display the fruit of that before you're ready for leadership. It is hard to be in leadership. It's hard to run something. And God is preparing you for that. God is calling you to something, but it is won in the prayer room. This game is won in your preparation, in your biblical knowledge, in your community. If you're not being discipled by anyone else, if you're not in a community group, friend, how will you grow? You will never know how weird you are until you see the look on your friends' faces. If you grow by yourself alone and you agree with yourself and look in the mirror, you will come out deformed. You will be spiritually deformed if it's a solo project. Do you have the right friends? If you're sitting in a group now that all they do is complain and gripe and are pessimistic, and you're not the leader who can bring them out of that, then go find another group that will encourage you, that you will be onto their fire. We all don't need like-minded people to sit around in a room and complain and agree with our wrong perspectives. We need to grow. We need to let him prepare us, and the wilderness is a community venture. Have you prepared for your spot? You're not going to fall into Bible study tomorrow. You're not just going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go read Isaiah. That sounds fun. I'm going to pray. You know what? I'm going to go check on my neighbor because they're sick. Unless you prepare, unless you predetermine your character, unless you think about the kind of person you want to be, and unless you make margin for that, it's never going to happen. And so you need to do radical things in the wilderness. And I used to hate this kind of talk because this, what I'm about to say sounds religious. And homeschool people used to really freak me out a lot when I was a youth pastor, because they were all the people trying to hide from the world in a lot of ways, okay? And they would say, and maybe I just didn't understand the move. There's lots of great homeschool parents now, all for them. You guys are awesome, great. But from a 23-year-old guy, all the homeschool people really kind of freaked me out a little bit, okay? Just being honest. And one of the things that the homeschool crowd would always do is just talk about how evil the youth group was sometimes. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? It's because we were speaking in language that the kids were used to, and public school was different from the homeschool crowd, and videos we showed, some of the, like, we don't watch Charlie Brown, he's of the devil. I'm like, really? Charlie Brown's of the devil? You know, it was just a little over the top. A lot of, in my opinion, people who were scared to let their children grow up near the world, okay? Whether I'm right or wrong, doesn't matter. I'm not trying to have a debate about homeschool. That's how I felt. And so when they would often say things, what I'm about to say, I feel like I'm turning into one of these homeschool people. I don't think the TVs and the phones do much for us. And as a pastor and as watching culture, technology has become very unedifying in many ways. It just has. I just don't agree with the themes. I don't see how it's helpful. I don't see how vegging out is productive. It's unfruitful. And so what I'm going to call you to, this might be the day everybody leaves, is I want to declare a 30-day fast today on technology. That's got a lot of weird faces. I think if you will get off that tube and go to the park, your life will be way more fruitful. I think if you will quit taking in trash into your mind and you fill it with God's word, something's going to happen in your life that you can't describe. Vegging out the Seinfeld or whatever it is you watch, and I don't think TV's evil. I watched Life Below Zero last night for like an hour and a half. That show cracks me up. But I want us to take a 30-day experience where we don't stare at our cell phones and we're not watching TV. If you don't want to participate, that's your deal. No, we're not the Pharisees here. Oh, you're not participating. You're out. But I do think that we need to reprogram the way we think and act and really look at each item in our life and say, does this have value? Is this helping me accomplish what I need to accomplish? I've already been doing this for about 3 or 4 weeks myself. And I will tell you that I have more clarity, more focus, and more energy. And my yard looks a lot better as a side byproduct. What God plans for us, if we will go to the wilderness and empty ourselves, He'll give us a vision for building. When He gives us that vision for building, He will fill us. And it's the only way. Jesus came, and they offered Him a crown. In this book later, you'll see that Mark says, "You are the Christ." People would come around Him and say, "Let's crown Him king now." Satan will tempt Him in Luke chapter 4 and try to give Him a way around the cross that everyone could bow down and worship Him. Satan himself would give Him all the kingdoms of the world if He would just take a bow and worship Satan. But Jesus knew that He must go to John the Baptist. He must go to the wilderness. He must go the way of the cross. And the only crown that was reserved for Him was a crown of thorns. And that made a way to open up so that God could fill us and send the Holy Spirit. You'll see in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost happened, and God's people were filled with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus doesn't go to the wilderness, if Jesus doesn't empty and humble Himself, and if He doesn't build the kingdom of God by dying on a cross and raising from the dead, there is nothing for you. And even now, Christ prepares a way for you. The Bible says, "No ear has heard, no eye has seen what God is preparing for those," or what God has prepared for those who love Him. Even now, kingdom of heaven awaits us. He is preparing a community. Your whole struggle, your whole life transformation, becoming in the image of Christ, God is preparing you so that you won't miss out on the blessing of heaven, so that we'll actually live in a community full of love, mercy, and justice, hope, and peace. And as God revives this earth, He is bringing to us, building His kingdom here, and it happens in the preparation room. It happens in the wilderness. And if it's not technology, then what else do you need to give up? How can you go out there and change your mind, reset your focus, and get off the TV Monday through Friday, or whatever it is, so that you can refocus, give more time to God, and give more time to the people around you? You will be blessed by that action. I promise you. Let's pray. God, You are preparing us to be a church to receive blessings. God, this morning we resubmit our body to You. We give it to You in a way to ask You to do something with our lives, that You would help us to have Your priorities. That we could go out in the wilderness and empty ourselves. We could change our minds, be humbled. You would give us a vision to build. And God, that You would fill us with Your Spirit. And Your Spirit would give us that seal of approval that we are sons and daughters in the kingdom. That would give us gifts to serve. That we would be like John the Baptist, not pay attention to the world's culture, but that we would look to the kingdom of God for our direction. And so, God, I pray everyone in here would be filled with Your Spirit, that the Spirit would lead them to the wilderness, their personal wilderness, that they would see this next 30 days as a time of fasting and prayer and decluttering and getting unnecessary things out of their life. They would not worry about the opinions of others, but they would seek You. They would share in community what You are telling them, and that wisdom would triumph in our lives. That we don't want to be extremists or weird, but we want to seek You with all of our hearts and minds. We want to give our whole lives to You and to see what You can do. God, we pray that You would fill us with Your Spirit. That we would build the structure right, and that we would not miss out on a blessing. That we wouldn't just be religious week after week and miss Jesus like the Pharisees did, but that we would be prepared to hear, to listen, to obey, and watch You do what You do. Blow us away with the impossible. God, speak to the hearts here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we respond today, I want you to think about one thing. What wilderness is God calling you to? Mine is giving up TV, my phone. Being more present with other people, listening, that kind of thing. What's your personal wilderness? Where is he calling you? What does he need to change so that you can build and be filled? During this next song, before this song is over, lunch plans are still 10 minutes away. I want you to think sincerely, what's my wilderness? Where's he calling? What's he calling me to go do so I can build and be filled? And I'm going to be standing by doors, and I'm going to ask you on your way out. And at least say, I don't know yet, but I want you to think about it. What's God calling you to? Where's he calling for the next 30 days? We're going to seek the Lord together, get rid of a lot of stuff that we don't need so that we can hear and be filled. Let's stand and sing. What's your wilderness?